Welcome back to our Bible study, and we are reaching the end of Esther today. And so this will be part number 25, and we have made it through the book. And so again, I just want to thank those of you who have tried to keep up with this, and I know it's kind of anticlimactic now with the two-week break because of COVID. I mean, everything's been affected by COVID this year, so not surprisingly, this Bible study did as well. But today we're going to pick up in Esther chapter 9, verse 20, and read through the end today. And then I'm actually going to do one more video next Tuesday that will just kind of review or tie everything together. I just want to kind of hit on a few things, and so I want to do that next week, and then we'll be finished with Esther. But today I want us to see the end of the story here and the result of what happened after God, you know, protected them and they were able to defend themselves. And so now we're going to see how God wants them to remember what he has done for them. So notice in Esther chapter 9, beginning in verse 20, it says, "And Mordecai recorded these things and sent letters to all the Jews who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, obliging them to keep the 14th day of the month Adar, and also the 15th day of the same year by year, as the days on which the Jews got relief from their enemies, and as the month that had been turned for them from sorrow into gladness, and from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, days for sending gifts of food to one another and gifts to the poor." So here, God, through Mordecai, because remember, Mordecai is doing this, but we always have to remember that God is working behind the scenes here. So Mordecai writes these things, and he institutes a celebration every year on the 13th and the 14th day of Adar, which is their 12th month. I'm sorry, the 14th and the 15th days of Adar, which is their 12th month of the year. And this was to be a day, 2 days of celebration of to remember when God had turned them from sadness and sorrow and mourning into joy and dancing and gladness and rejoicing. And it even says that they should have feasting on that day. Remember that Esther had instituted a fast before she went to the king. Remember when she told all the Jews? So now the way they celebrate that is not by fasting, but by feasting, because it's a day of celebration. And it says that they should send gifts of food to one another and gifts to the poor. So even it wasn't just a celebration of themselves for them to eat and to feast and to celebrate, but also there should be this idea of looking out for the poor and sending food to the needy and taking care of others, which is interesting that even then Mordecai would say, we need to look after our neighbors. And let's make sure that everybody can celebrate. Let's make sure nobody is left out. We want to celebrate together. So notice verse 23. It says, "So the Jews accepted what they had started to do and what Mordecai had written to them. For Haman the Agagite, the son of Hamathah, the enemy of the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to destroy them and had cast pur, that is, cast lots, to crush and to destroy them. But when it came before the king, he gave orders in writing that his evil plan that he had devised against the Jews should return on his own head, that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. Therefore, they called these days Purim, after the term pure. Therefore, because of all that was written in this letter and of what they had faced in the matter and of what had happened to them, the Jews firmly obligated themselves and their offspring and all who joined them that without fail they would keep these 2 days according to what was written and at the time appointed every year, that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation in every clan, province, and city, and that these days of Purim should never fall into disuse among the Jews, nor should the commemoration of these days cease among their descendants." So here, what this celebration was to be called was the Days of Purim, the Festival of Purim, and it was named after the lots. Remember that? We said that the pure is to cast lots, and that's what Haman had done to decide these days. And so, again, if we think about God working through even the casting of the lots, as Proverbs says, that these days were set aside by God to be the days that the Jews were protected, right? So they said, we're going to have a festival of the Purim. We'll call this the Festival of Purim to remember these days when God had turned back on Haman, the one who wanted to kill us. It turned back on his head. And then the Jews were able to protect themselves. So now notice verse 29. It says, then Queen Esther, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew gave full written authority, confirming this second letter about Purim. Letters were sent to all the Jews to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus in words of peace and truth, that these days of Purim would be observed at their appointed seasons, as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther obligated them, and as they obligated themselves and their offspring with regard to their feasts and their lamenting. The command of Queen Esther confirmed these practices of Purim, and it was recorded in writing. So now it's been stamped, it's been approved, that now all the Jews should do this. Now, chapter 10, verse 1. It says, and King Ahasuerus imposed a tax on the land and on the coastlands of the sea, and all the acts of his power and might, and the full account of the high honor of Mordecai to which the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of Chronicles in the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was second in rank to King Ahasuerus, and he was great among the Jews and popular with the multitude of his brothers, for he sought the welfare of his people and spoke peace to all his people. So we see ultimately there he has been promoted to, or he already was promoted earlier, but he is now sitting at the second in command to King Ahasuerus, and he is well thought of. He's popular to his brothers, meaning the Jews, because he sought the welfare of his people and spoke peace for all his people. Now, remember, back at the beginning, Mordecai wanted to keep it all a secret. Remember, he didn't come out and say that he was a Jew. He didn't want Esther to come out and say that she was a Jew. And so he wanted to keep that secret until what happened with Haman. And then he was like, I'm a Jew. I can't bow to him. And so we see that Mordecai's growth through this, that now he is being a blessing to his people, and he wants to remember what had happened to them and to celebrate that. Again, how God, even though he doesn't say because of what Yahweh did or what God did, but he wants to celebrate how they had been protected, and that was only by the hand of God. So, as we read this, we see now this is kind of tied up now. What does this mean for us? Because we don't celebrate the Festival of Purim, right? It said that they should continue, the Jews and their descendants should continue this. So what does that mean for us? Well, I believe that we can see when we've walked through Esther and we've seen how God worked through this, I believe that we can see a parallel in the New Testament. Because notice what it says. It says that this was to remember about Haman, the enemy of the Jews, who had plotted against the Jews to destroy them and had cast pure, that is, cast lots to crush and destroy them. But when it came before the king, he gave orders in writing that his evil plan that he had devised against the Jews would return on his own head, and that he and his son would be hanged. And so therefore, we're going to celebrate that, right? That the enemy of the Jews was defeated. And so while we're not Jewish, as Gentiles, we don't have to celebrate Purim, but I think we have something that parallels this or is a fulfillment or a realization of this, and that's the Lord's Supper. So we don't have to do Purim and remember how God protected the Jews, but we do celebrate the Lord's Supper because we know that on that day, that was Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross and was getting ready to go give himself. And it looked like at that time, man, the people that plotted against Jesus, which is ultimately Satan and his plans and purposes, it looked like he was going to win. but it was on when Jesus gave his life. We know that scripture tells us that actually what Satan thought was his greatest victory was really his ultimate defeat. And so we remember that, how Satan is, this is all turned on Satan's head. It's not on Christ. Christ didn't lose. No, he won the victory. And so what he did actually turned Satan's plans on his head, right? Because when we read Revelation, we see that ultimately Satan is thrown into the lake of fire, he and all his demons, right? And so his ultimate defeat was there at the cross. And so we celebrate the Lord's Supper to remember Christ's sacrifice for us, that he gave his body and that he shed his blood to pay for your sin and mine. And so when we read this in Luke, I'm reading Luke's account in chapter 22. Notice what it says. It says, "And when the hour came, he, Jesus, reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you that I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took this bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, the cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." And so here Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, and he says, whenever you do this in remembrance of me. Remember my body. Remember my blood. Remember my sacrifice that was paid for you. And so ultimately, yes, we remember it because he gave his life. He paid for our sin. What that means is the blood of the new covenant that we have with God, which is that we can receive by faith. Right, through by grace through faith. But if we think about it in Esther's language, that it was that Haman, his plan was turned on his head, we also remember the Lord's Supper because it's the day, or right after that, when Jesus went to the cross, that it was the day that Satan's plan went on his head. And so we just haven't seen his ultimate defeat yet, but we know that that comes at the end. And so when we take the Lord's Supper, yes, we remember what Christ has done for us, but it's also anticipation for when we have the marriage feast with him, the marriage, the lamb, the supper with the lamb that we see in Revelation. So yes, we remember, but there's also anticipation in that, because we know at that day, then that's when Satan will be ultimately defeated. That's when he will, his plans and purposes will no longer be on earth, because he will be destroyed fully and finally. So when we see this about Purim, yes, we don't have to celebrate that, but we do have something that's parallel to that, that's even better than that, and that's the Lord's Supper that we celebrate. And so just as they were to remember God's plans and purposes and protection over them, we celebrate God's purpose and plan and salvation and redemption over us through the sacrifice of Christ. So we don't have to do it on a specific day. We have freedom to do that, but we should do it regularly, and we should always, always, always do it in remembrance of Christ and what he's done, and anticipation for what's still to come when we get to join together with him for all eternity. So that's Esther. And hopefully this has helped you and maybe learned some things about Esther. And hopefully it's challenged you, encouraged you, given you a lot of things to pray about. And so next week we'll do one more video that just kind of brings this into the entire message of scripture. Like, where does Esther fit in this? So we'll talk about that briefly next week. And so I hope y'all have a great rest of your week and a good weekend, and we'll see you next week.